station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Good morning and welcome to Friday, November 15th.
Friday, woo!
Yes, we're excited. I'm going out of town.
Yay!
And I'm really excited. I'm flying up north to a very little town. And it's funny, there's probably like a couple thousand people there. No, I don't know how many, but it's pretty cool. And I have a couple of friends who are twins there, and I haven't seen them in a long time. So they're like characters, you know. They really are. So we're going to go crazy, I'm sure, in the woods and stuff. You know, they live like out in the woods, you know.
Really?
Yeah, it's really cool. There's nothing around you, no houses, no nothing, you know.
I can picture Sam going crazy through the woods.
Oh, yeah, you can imagine.
So
I'm looking forward to that. I love being with friends and stuff, you know.
Great. Yeah. Sounds nice. Little getaway from the L.A.
Yeah, I need a break. I really need a break. So we'll be gone Monday, too. Did you make any plans for a long-term weekend here, for a three-day weekend?
You
going to take advantage of it?
Probably, yeah. Well, I mean, it's gonna be a pretty big big day for me Sunday with football and the changes that are being made to the Bears. Jay Cutler, I think, is being replaced by this Josh McCown guy.
Really?
Yeah.
I understand they won last night. The Bears?
The Bears? No.
No.
We didn't play last night.
Then, it was the Colts, right? The Colts.
It was Indianapolis and the Titans.
Right.
I believe.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
And they beat them.
Yeah.
So you know what? I must have dreamed.
That was actually
I must have dreamed that Chicago won. I really did.
I was actually in, and this was my first time here with this place called Mastro's.
Mastro's.
In Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. It's very cool. There's like this like top floor, like penthouse bar thing, and like a really, really great crowd.
Really?
Like all very like nice, well dressed, good looking people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sounds like Beverly Hills to me.
Yeah. It's very very Beverly Hills. But it was it was a lot of fun. Like we technically weren't supposed to be there, but it was kind of supposed to be like a guys' night sort of situation. We were gonna meet up, but my one friend's boyfriend was like out of town, so like she hadn't seen him, and they were like, and we were still getting ready, and then she's like, oh, let's just go and surprise him. So we did, and we showed up, and it was like, wow,
really,
this place is so nice.
Oh, so it was just guys, and then you crashed the party.
Yeah,
really?
Pretty much.
Well, what if it happened the other way?
You'd like, all the boyfriends are, like, friends, and then all of, like, us girlfriends of the boyfriends all hang out. So we all kind of, like, you know, co-conspire with each other, like, okay, what are we going to do?
That's funny. So how many couples?
It's funny, though. But you know what? They do it to us if we try to have a girls' night.
Yeah, they would do it to you?
Yes.
And do you get irritated?
I mean, not so much. I mean, this is sort of new for me. Like, these, you know, other couples have been together, you know, a lot longer. I'm kind of sort of new to the group.
The new girl in the group, okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, I just kind of, like, follow along with, you know, what's going on. But, yeah, it's fun. Yeah, really... really nice crowd. Good looking crowd.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever been there or heard of it?
No, never have. But But I live vicariously through you. You go to all these places. And at least I hear about them.
Well, I'm
just saying,
if you ever really want to impress a girl, Sam, take her to this Mastro's place.
Really?
I'm telling you.
Okay.
Yes, it's decorated really cool. So.
Okay. Do I have to mortgage my house in order to take her there?
I don't know, thankfully, we were just there for drinks, like not dinner. But I'm looking around at these tables, and they have like these huge, like crazy, like seafood platters,
really?
And like you see like big, like claw crab things, like like these like big like mountains of food, like really cool display.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I just can't imagine, you know, spending like a few hundred dollars on something that only takes like an hour and a half. You know,
yeah.
You don't sit in a restaurant that long. And to spend that kind of money, you've got to be making a lot of money.
Yeah. You know? Well, what another friend of mine that was there, what he said, he's like, oh, this is a lot of the people that work here come here.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like that whole Beverly Hills community, I guess.
I see. Okay. Well, we got to break into that crowd one way or another.
One way or another.
Yeah. We'll have to earn a lot of money. Then people start looking at you and taking note of you.
Although it was funny, we got bombarded by like a few guys that were they were having a bachelor party.
Uh-huh.
So as we're, you know, of course, we walk in by ourselves. We're waiting for like the elevator. And it was just kind of funny because on the sign, the elevator points down.
Uh-huh.
But we knew we had to get up. So these like three guys come up to us. They're like, hey, so it's my buddy's bachelor party today. Can you guys do me a big favor and just come over and like give him a kiss?
Oh, God.
We're like.
Just like that? I mean, you don't know this guy?
No, just like that.
Are you serious?
Dead serious.
Yeah,
we're waiting for the elevator. And I'm like, what nerd?
Wow. I know.
Like, please, dude, like, come on. Like, you got to understand. Like, come on. It's his bachelor party, man. Like,
wow.
Come on. Like, it's the least you can do. Like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, we
the least we can do is get the hell out of here, man.
Are you kidding me? And we're like, no. Like, okay, fine. We will buy you whatever shot you want.
Yeah.
As if that's going to make some huge groundbreaking difference. Like, we're so desperate. Like, we can't go, like, upstairs and get our own drinks. Like,
well,
really?
Maybe some girls are.
But
you know
what? That's the thing. This is LA, so I wouldn't be surprised if that changed everybody's mind in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, for a shot, I'll do whatever you want. But seriously, but yeah, we're like, no. So we get in the elevator, and it says it's going down. So then we walk back out of the elevator, and then they come back at us again.
Really?
Like, oh, I thought you guys were going upstairs. We're like, wow, are you serious?
Yeah.
Seriously? Wow. Leave us alone, please.
Wow.
And then the other waiter guy was like, no, it will eventually go up. I know it's confusing. The sign says down, but it will go up. So I'm like, okay. And then we eventually found our way and surprised the boys, but it was quite a journey to get there.
Sounds good, man. I just wanted, before we get to our special guest here, I wanted to bring up the fact that I guess Miley Cyrus now says that she was smoking real pot on the stage at the European Music Awards. Yeah, I don't know if you remember there was something
like
that.
She's just like crying for attention.
She really is, right? But she says,
crazy.
No, I didn't plan it. I just, you know, came out of my dressing room and I found I had it. And I just thought, why not? It would be funny.
Oh, what do you know?
Yeah. So
I'm sure it didn't cross her mind at all, the fact that, like, oh, I'm Miley Cyrus. And when I do crazy things, it makes me more famous. And then people all love to talk about me.
Right.
Oh, what can I do this time? Like, that never crossed her mind. Like, she was, like, up there, like, oh, I'm just gonna, you know, smoke this weed.
Well, she says we don't care what the media says, blah, 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 and all that stuff.
Are you kidding me? That's the whole reason why she's doing this.
Yeah, probably. And then I guess Lady Gaga came clean that she was addicted to pot. Now, I don't know if that's possible, but
I
guess
it can. Is that even possible? That's what I always heard about pot. They're like, well, you can't get addicted. It's not an addictive drug.
Well, let's say that psychologically you can get addicted. You know?
But yeah, that's true. People with like addictive like personalities
You know, it's not like the body craves it, but your mind does, you know.
Your mind does, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like that with candy.
But it definitely, you know, it's one of those addictions, though, that, I mean, I suppose you could be addicted to pot, but it's not something that you can put in the same category with coke and heroin.
Right.
And even alcohol, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, nobody dies from it. So, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I can understand that. Because my body definitely does not need candy, but yeah. my mind does. Yeah. I get so excited. Chocolate. Oh my gosh, I'm such a chocoholic. I'm terrible.
I know, me too. I love chocolate.
Ugh.
Do you get into dark chocolate too? Do you
Yes.
Really?
I love dark chocolate.
Wow.
Yes, and it's actually
yeah.
like full of like antioxidants and good stuff.
That's true.
Like,
they say it's good
so
for
terrible.
You.
Not so terrible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They say it's good for you, so yeah.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm mostly for milk chocolate, but but still, I mean, sometimes some dark chocolate
I really
is good.
Like white chocolate, too.
Yeah, white chocolate
I like
is
it
good.
All, man. I like it all.
Yeah. But I don't know why they call white chocolate chocolate, because it's not, you know. I mean, chocolate is made of cocoa and stuff, and,
yeah.
you know, so.
Yeah, I wonder what makes white chocolate
just,
white chocolate.
Maybe because it's the texture, and the same companies make it, and whatever,
yeah.
you know.
Could be.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, a couple of other things, but I don't want to keep our guests waiting anymore. So let's bring them in. We have Mr. John Schwartz in the studio. Welcome to the show, John.
Thank you.
And you want to talk close to the mic. Don't forget.
How quickly we forget.
Yeah. Now, I see you're hardly moving, and your companion here said that you hurt your back?
Yeah, I was playing basketball.
Really?
I'm a little too old.
I guess, huh? At this age, you don't know what your body can and can't do anymore, huh?
The guy that was guarding me put his shoulder into me when I was going up for a rebound.
Oh, wow.
I thought my whole chest was going to cave in.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, I bet. I mean, you probably were in pain. You probably thought you broke your back or something.
It's called familiar pain because
yeah.
I've done this many different times
yeah.
in different
really?
Ways. Yeah.
Oh.
Wow. So now with you is a lady named Joan.
We're married.
We just met.
Oh, you're married. Okay. Yeah, I was introducing her to you just in case you didn't know who she is.
I was very smart. Thank you. I may take you as a... My wingman.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go.
Well, this is cool. So you guys are married.
Yes, we
wow.
are.
Wow. So welcome to the show to you too, Joan.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, talk closer to the mic so
oh,
we can hear
talk
you.
Talk closer. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. You'll see when you listen back to it, you'll thank me.
Okay.
So, John, you're pretty famous for at least one film that you wrote.
Yeah.
And that's Faces of Death,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I wrote, produced, and co-created.
Oh, really?
Faces
so you produced
yeah.
it as
and,
well.
And directed, too.
Now, how long ago was that it came out?
It came out in America in the early 80s.
Early 80s. You see, I told you it was a long
that
time
was,
ago.
Yes, yeah. That was much before I was born.
Yeah.
But you know something? What's amazing is that generation after generation, the experience of seeing Faces of Death leaves this imprint on anybody who's ever seen it.
Yeah.
And it's passed on from generation to generation.
That's true, huh? Well, so it's like a classic, a timeless film.
Yeah. I mean, I've been traveled around the world, and people in the most remote areas know about it.
Really?
Yeah.
So. Wow. So tell us, I'll admit, I've never seen the movie, but I've heard a lot about it.
There's three of them.
There's three?
Well, there's actually four, right?
That's right.
John did the first three, before
oh, wow.
I knew him, way before I
and
knew
my
him.
Brother, my brother did the last one. Is let me tell you the concept. So that
sure.
For
those who don't
it,
know, right.
It's about a pathologist who over the past 25 years has compiled a library of death. And the movie is a chronicle of his experiences.
Really? So it's a fictional movie, though?
Well, no. It's part fiction and part recreation.
Oh, really?
And people couldn't tell the difference from fact or fiction, and that's what made this so controversial.
Right.
So
this was, like, real? I mean, people were dying real and
yeah,
for real?
I bought footage of a woman who jumped off a building.
Wow.
And we created, like, the monkey brains. I don't know. Are you familiar with the film at all?
No.
I'm not either. So just tell it to us like we've never heard of it before.
Oh my God, I don't know where to begin.
Well, there's a scene with these people are in a restaurant, and they bring a monkey over, and they kill the monkey, and the people wind up eating the monkey brain.
Oh wow!
But I would never have married John if he hurt an animal.
Yeah.
So it's really cauliflower and marinara sauce. And
really?
No monkey was hurt.
So that was like simulation of a lot of things.
Well, yeah, it was recreations. And basically what we did is took the real life footage and combined it with the recreated footage so people couldn't tell the difference between fact or fiction.
Wow.
So like there was a flesh eating cult, and it starts out in this in this hovel of witchdom. Of witchcraft.
Uh-huh.
And basically what happens is I play the leader of a cult.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And we're going to open up our victim, who's dead now, Anita's inside, to give us strength and superhuman.
Now, this is in your psyche, right? I mean, this is all inside.
I'm going to tell you something. It happened 35 years ago, and a lot of it is still in my psyche.
Really? Wow.
I saw so much death. And also, when you deal with the concept of death, you're dealing with the unknown.
Right.
And it's unknown, but it's yet something that each of us is going to have to experience.
Yeah. I know, and that's the thing. We were talking about it the other day because we had an author that wrote a book called
We Don't Die.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so we were talking about death and all that stuff. So, but you're obviously familiar with it because you've been near a lot of it, right?
Too much.
I mean, how does it happen? How do you end up being around death a lot?
By making a movie about it.
I see. Okay.
Well, the Japanese came to you and said.
Yeah. The way it all happened is it was a small family business, uh-huh. and they came to us. The Japanese came to us and said, you know, we know you guys do documentaries. Is there any way you can do a documentary about death?
Right.
And I said, give us a couple of hours, and I and the boss's son, who owned the family film company.
Right.
He came up with the title, which is Faces of Death, and I came up with the concept, which is about the pathologist.
I see. Okay. Wow, that's pretty interesting stuff. So how did you? So those Japanese people just found you?
I mean. Yeah, they found us, and what? Nobody thought it was going to go anywhere because the Japanese are really into the macabre. You know, they're really into weird stuff.
They're into a lot of weird stuff. Yeah. You know, I mean, I've seen some like, you know. Not intensely, but I've seen some Japanese porn, and sometimes you ask yourself, why did I even start watching this, you know?
They
have no limits.
Yeah, they make the scariest horror movies.
Really?
Like the Japanese version of The Ring and
is
the scariest thing I have ever seen. It takes a lot for me to get scared.
Really?
Then we make remakes of their films, but...
Oh, really?
You know, but... You know, it's nowhere near how brilliant their films are. And they are brilliant.
Are they really?
Yeah, they're really, I mean...
Japanese you know how to scare the shit out of you.
Yeah, they do, huh?
Oh, wow.
Okay, listen,
with Godzilla, right? They really scared us with that one.
No, that's early primitive Japanese film.
Right. 2 weeks before I met John, I went into a video store to rent Lawrence of Arabia. Uh-huh. And I see these films on the shelf. They were called Faces of Death. And I went up to the clerk and I said, I have to ask you, what's sick person could watch these films. And then 2 weeks later, I met John.
Wow, really?
Oh, that's
totally
funny.
Coincidental?
Totally
waiting
coincidental.
On a movie line.
Yeah, waiting on a movie line. Totally coincidental. Because I don't deal with death. I haven't even watched the films. Maybe just two scenes.
Yeah.
You know.
Wow.
But,
So you met at a movie line?
Yeah.
Well, I was walking into a theater. He was coming out, and a mutual friend of ours, you know, connected us, but I was living with somebody, and John would only see me if I'd have sex with him, and I said, well, I can't do that. We just have to be platonic.
Right.
And I said, well...
He's like, the hell with that.
Yeah, and I said, well, you're just another screwed-up man, you know, forget it. And then a few months later, I broke up with the person I was living with, and we got together.
Wow.
And I've been chained to love ever since.
How long have you been married?
Oh, 20 years.
Wow.
No, tell the truth.
20 years. I was a child bride.
27
years. We weren't married 27 years.
Yes, we were.
No,
How can you guys be like so different numbers
from
here?
We're from New York.
Yeah.
This is in New York.
I mean, I can
we
understand 2022, but not 2027.
You don't even give our dogs ages.
I didn't ask you for your age. Just
no,
how long
I don't believe in time.
Yeah. No, that's true. But you guys are buddies. I mean, obviously, at this point, you guys have been together for a long time.
Yeah.
So that's cool. So so you met him. You didn't know who he was. You didn't know he was the one that made the films and everything. Even you were under a different name when you made the
Black,
film,
because
right?
I've been a union writer for 35 years.
Too. Yeah.
And I, in the 80s, I worked on Knight Rider and Fall Guy and Street Hawk and all
normal
that.
Normal stuff.
Really?
All that stuff.
Yeah.
And I, in between all that, and the reality television that began to boom.
Right.
I was known as the godfather of reality television because I was
true,
doing
huh?
this stuff, you know, 30 years earlier, 30 some odd years earlier.
What's really interesting is, you know, John lectures a lot at colleges, and everyone has their story about where they were when they first. Watched Faces of Death.
You guys should have a little Faces of Death party.
And really?
Yeah.
And so it's like a cult thing at this point.
Yeah, you
point,
can get it from Netflix, and it's all over the place.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
It was banned in how many states?
48 countries.
Yes. 48 countries,
the BBC
huh?
came wow. to our house.
Because it's that realistic? Is that why?
Yeah. People thought it was real. Like another experience that I had, I was at my typist's house and proofing over some material. And then on the television set, Dan Rather came on and said, there's a snuff film that's been released in Hollywood, and the filmmaker should be, banished for this kind of stuff.
Wow.
And all the papers I had in my hand fell, and I figured that was the end of my career.
Right.
Little did I realize it would be a calling card that's lasted for years and years and years.
That's true, huh?
And when you see how much competition there is, if you can do something that can give you some kind of legacy, I think you've done a pretty good job.
That's true, and it stayed because it's a classic film at this point.
Yeah, I get sent out.
It's timeless.
I get sent out to the horror conventions and everything because the fans are just crazy.
Really?
Wow. The BBC came to our house a couple of years ago to interview John because I guess Parliament voted. Was it Parliament?
Parliament lifted the ban.
He lifted the ban.
Really?
On Faces of Death.
So they had like a whole debate about it.
Oh,
huh?
Wow. It's so bizarre. Should I say this about, I've gotten out of ticket. Because police are very big fans of Faces
really?
Of Death, and I got stopped for talking on a cell phone, which I never do. It was just an emergency, and these two young policemen were going to give me a ticket, and for some reason I said, do you know these movies, Faces of Death? And they went, oh my God, those are my favorite movies. And I said, well, my husband wrote, directed, and produced them, and they didn't give me a ticket.
Wow.
They said, okay, we'll let you go.
Folks, don't try it out.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Very funny.
Obviously,
that's
a celebrity.
One way to do it. Yeah.
It's like you go to the cup. Do you know who I am?
Oh, God.
Well, I'm the wife of the producer of Faces of Death, so you better look out.
I couldn't believe it worked.
Yeah, that's cool. So now, are you working on something right now?
I understand you're working on many different things. Right.
Right. Now. But what is it right now? Did you have anything to promote before we forget?
My book is going to be coming out in about a month and a half.
Oh, really? And what's the book about?
It's my experiences with Faces of Death, and there are stories in there that some are real, some are not, and it's all intertwined from
your perspective.
My perspective, my written perspective.
Yeah. Right. And when did you write this? Like over the last couple of years or so?
Yeah, it's been mulling.
Millennia, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have a very funny movie review show online called Two Jews on Film, TWO.
Really?
We're into our third year now.
We started as a fluke because when we go to films, John hates everything for the most part, and I love everything. So a friend of mine said, you guys need to do a review show.
Right.
So she set it up for us, and we rate films with bagels, 1 to 5.
Really?
Yeah.
5 bagels.
And we're on YouTube, and we're on all these other, we're syndicated, in all these different, periodicals and
wonderful.
Online stuff. So,
how can people see that?
Well, if you go to, YouTube.com/ Two Jews on Film.
Okay.
That's where we are, TWO. And it's funny. I mean, we're funny. What can I say? We're funny.
Yeah.
well,
you're a lot of fun. Yeah, I mean, sure.
And opinionated.
Yeah. So, and it's appropriate you guys would have a show on film when you met at a movie theater,
Right. And
Genesis makes sense.
And we're both writers, and I'm an actress. So, of course, we love movies. Well, at least one of us loves movies.
Yeah.
The other one's very critical.
I'm moving out right now.
So, now, have you been, you always been into writing and stuff?
Well, I started as a runner. This goes back. The studio system is not set up this way anymore, but I got out of college. I went to Cal Arts.
Where were you born?
I was born in New York City.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, and you end up moving here, what, for college and
stuff?
Yeah.
What happened is it was a really cold night in Boston. I was going to Emerson College, and I was at a friend's house, and I saw this the Saturday Evening Post on the bed, and I started to read it, and there was this huge article about Cal Arts, and it was Disney's concept for what a college should be. So there was this like a seminary of the arts in McBean Parkway, in L.A.
Oh,
Valencia,
wow.
Right?
Yeah, Valencia actually.
Wow.
Anyway, so where were we?
And you were David Hasselhoff's roommate.
Yeah, David Hasselhoff was my roommate.
Oh, really?
That's awesome.
Well. And I have to tell you, there aren't many people that really actually go out and help you. And he was always been terrific.
Really?
Yeah.
He seems like a nice guy.
He's genuinely a good guy.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't seen each other in years, but...
Yeah, but he remembers you.
Yeah, because I was an asshole. I did
really?
Some stupid stuff.
Like what?
No, it's just he asked me to do a couple of things for him from a writing standpoint, and I didn't want to do it because I didn't like the person that he wanted me to write it for.
Oh,
but
I see.
Rather
okay.
than just saying, no problem, I had opened my mouth and just say, I can't do it. And he says, why not? I said, because, you know, it's just...
Stop
just
talking. Us New Yorkers tend to be a little arrogant sometimes.
Yeah. So it ended up that you're both from New York, too?
Yeah, I'm from New York.
Oh, wow.
Right.
But you guys met here in
yeah.
LA?
I was born under a train
I
track
I was not born under a train track. Oh, my God. I came from Brooklyn, like yeah. a good part of Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Sheepshead Bay, and the train was like 8 blocks away.
Yeah.
John comes from the east side of New York. His mother had a butler, you know.
Uh-huh.
He's a little bit of a snob. She used to ring the bell for her butler.
Really?
Oh,
wow.
My. Really
so you were born to a wealthy family?
It's all relative. I mean, you yeah. know, I went to a boarding school.
Yeah.
And my
They're
father.
Still alive on the east 69th Street if you want to go visit them.
Really?
Doris and Marty.
Wow, that's amazing.
They don't
wow.
like me.
No?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I can't imagine why everybody likes me. I think they wanted John to marry a blonde.
Oh, I see.
Seriously, they did.
Wow.
A rich blonde.
Yeah.
Where you got
yeah.
that from?
Them. Oh, no, I was walking down the street with his mother one day, and she said, "Don't you love women with blonde hair?"
Yeah. Really? So she gave it away.
Yeah.
What she likes.
And I said, "Not really."
Yeah.
It's when you get to family issues, it has a domino effect back to your childhood and all
it really
of
does.
Stuff.
It really does, yeah, because family, you don't get to choose, you know, it's not like mm-hmm. friends, you know, you're pretty much stuck with them.
Yeah.
So you have to learn how to deal with them, you know, and sometimes it's not your cup of tea, it's not your type of people, you know.
You don't have to love your family.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. But you have to like them.
Somehow you have to find something that makes it, gives you the ability to communicate, but also the other side of that coin is that, you know, being in a family that is dysfunctional has a myriad of effects on a child and now us as an adult.
Right.
You asked me if Faces of Death ever, you know, affected me, and it affected me the way my childhood affected me, you know.
Really?
Which was really clear and utter craziness.
Oh, wow. So you had like a wild childhood? Is that what you're
yeah,
saying?
Yeah, I think I had a pretty wild childhood.
Yeah.
My parents just wanted to get rid of my brother and myself.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They used to say if we had to do it all over again, we never would have had kids.
Really? Wow, that's a great thing to say to your kids.
Makes you feel real good about
yourself.
It's very strange for a Jewish, especially for a Jewish mother and father to
say
that, because they usually adore their children.
Yeah.
But no, they did adore you until you met me.
That's true.
That
was my trump card.
That was it. They didn't want anybody from Brooklyn. They wanted somebody from the Upper East Side.
Oh, wow. That's pretty funny, though. I mean, you know, because it's... It's like it seems like so old-fashioned, and yet people still do it.
Oh, you know,
there's a ritual
all the time.
Know?
Yeah, yeah. People figure, you know, I mean, I want my my son or my daughter to be well off. They might as well marry into money, you know. But they forget that when they met, they probably didn't meet over money. You know, it was love or something. You know.
Not exactly.
No. Well, I'm not saying they particularly. I'm just saying the people in general. You know. So, what made you move to L.A.?
I don't know. One day I was walking around the streets of New York and I just felt this is a very unnatural place to live.
Really?
And I needed...
After you lived there all your life.
Yeah, I needed nature, you know?
Right.
I mean, it was like, you know, New York, I love New York and
right.
I love to go back and I love everything about the city, but, you know, you're surrounded by these tall, tall buildings and
right.
the only nature is Central Park.
Right.
And, you know, you just feel like, wow.
I know.
You
but
know.
That's what I'm saying. At least you have the park, you know. I mean,
at least you have
the
park.
You know,
it ain't big enough.
I mean, look, right now, I mean, we lived at the beach for years, and now we live at Topanga Canyon, and we're surrounded
wow.
by deer and owls.
I'm going to tell you something. There's some stuff going on at
so
Topanga
beautiful.
That I'm going to reveal.
Yeah.
Oh,
really, in Topanga.
I don't know how long I'll live.
No, there's a lot of creatures up there. Good
really?
Creatures. I mean, you know, there's owls and coyotes. And I love them too.
Yeah, and there
and
are other
deer.
Creatures too. Which yeah. really
She's trying to shut you up if you didn't notice.
No,
she doesn't want you to say.
No, so I mean, you're surrounded by nature, and in New York, you know, you're surrounded by a different kind of energy.
That's
but
true.
It's still a great energy. I mean, I love
it
New
really
York.
It really is, yeah. New York is great, you
I
know.
Miss
but you
it.
Need, but you felt you needed something more than that. So how did you decide on L.A.? I mean, there's a lot of places with nature in the country.
Well, Joan
stuff.
Had been to Topanga years ago, and she said to me, you know, now's the chance to move to Topanga.
Mm. Oh, I mean, how I decided. Well, I mean, I went on a few trips. I lived in South America for 2 years.
It's not the really? Show.
I know. I lived in. He asked me a question. I lived in San Francisco and you know, L.A. I don't know. It just kind of happened.
Yeah. So you end up landing here, and you also said you were an actress and everything.
Yeah.
So that probably drew you here.
Yeah.
Too, right?
That, yeah. But now I'm mostly writing. We're writing screenplays together.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So and like before. When you were in New York, what were you doing at the time?
Oh, I was acting.
You were acting?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like theater, movies?
Theater, yeah. Theater.
Really? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
When I met Joan, she told me she had done these Broadway musicals, and I know all these Broadway musicals because I was brought up on them.
Yeah.
And so I said to her, I'll never forget, we were driving to Frisco, I said, okay, sing me some songs that you've done on Broadway. And it was like listening to the album.
Yeah.
Sweet. No, but it's funny that two New Yorkers should get together and meet in L.A.
That's true, yeah, but there's so many New Yorkers here, that's why.
That's,
you know?
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody's
yeah.
coming for the pot of gold, you know.
Yeah, there you go. And for the
and
pot.
And the weather.
Yeah,
for the
weather.
Pot of gold.
I mean, no more winters.
Yeah. It can get pretty cold, and the weather's shifting, so don't keep some heavy coats
around.
But
I have to say, when I experienced my first earthquake, that was the scariest thing I've ever
really,
experienced
yeah.
in
I love
my
earthquakes.
Life.
I'm humbled by their power.
Yeah. Huh?
And how minuscule.
It's
we're like
something.
Ants.
Yeah.
You know?
Look at the typhoon that just happened. You know? I mean, we are like ants, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
It's just a matter of time for a big quake here
you
in Southern California.
You are such a negative human being.
Yeah.
I'm a practical human being.
John keeps asking me, Joan, when you die, where do you want to be buried? You know, it's like...
No, I said, do you want to be buried or cremated?
Oh, wow. What was the answer? Have you decided?
Joan,
I won't discuss things like that.
Really? Wow. No. Why? Do you believe in like...
If I believe in anything, I do believe in reincarnation. If I have any kind of belief system,
I think there are within the solar system there are billions of planets that we can't even recognize. There's some are like Earth, some are like the Moon, some
what
are like Jupiter.
What does that have to do with reincarnation?
Yeah.
Well, no, it's as when you die, your spirit goes to one of these stars, and I think
you think?
I think when you look up at night. And you see zillions of stars. Those are just people that have passed through.
Yeah, I guess. Well, you would know. You're familiar with death and everything.
I said I understand it before I die, so I got a little while to go yet.
Yeah. Now, what in your film, what are some of the real things that people can see? Like, not the staged or recreated stuff. Is there anything real?
We went to the morgue.
I shot in the L.A. County morgue when Thomas Noguchi was the coroner.
Yeah.
And anybody who dies in a natural death... is sent to the morgue, and so we got in there posing as college students, and we filmed there for two weeks. But I'll never forget the first time I entered the morgue. As I was walking down the hall, there was a guy whose head was turned around. It had been a motorcycle accident. And that was just the beginning. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're standing on this mat, and this door slides open like they do in supermarkets.
Uh-huh.
And there are 8 autopsies going on at the same time.
And
the guy said, "You guys want to have lunch with us?" I said, I said, "Where's the lunch room?" He said, "Around the corner." I said, "I have to take a pass on that."
Oh, man.
I couldn't even go there.
And then didn't some woman drown? That was real.
Oh, this is another bizarre story.
Well, people actually shot that as she was drowning?
No. I'll explain it to you.
Okay, go ahead.
We were doing the closing of Faces of Death, which is a woman carrying her baby on the beach. And we were filming it at my friend's house, beach house.
Right.
And we lined up the shot for the mother to carry her baby down against the ocean as it glistens we're getting into golden time.
Uh-huh.
So we have the shot set up, and it's going beautifully, and we hear a scream about 50 yards away, and a body washed up on us.
Wow.
And it was pretty.
So that was real.
Yeah,
so
it was real. And we filmed that one ourselves.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Sounds
but
good.
There are things that you get warning signs, you know?
Right.
And you got to be careful.
That's true, yeah. So now in your book, what are some of the things that you discuss?
I'm going to discuss my perspective of what happened to me making these movies, because the fans that really know these movies know that there are highlights that that they like to go to, they like to check out.
Right.
And that can be the Monkey Brains or give me some more.
I don't know, the Flesh Eating Cult.
The Flesh Eating Cult.
I haven't really seen the movies.
Yeah.
I just saw them. And I did a whole thing about Life in the Slaughterhouse. Mm. And that was
oh my God.
Going from cattle.
Yeah. So now that stuff doesn't bother you to watch that stuff?
Well, I got to tell you, it certainly affects me now differently, because when we were doing this, we didn't realize it, but we were getting into places where all animal vivisection was taking place.
Yeah.
And we managed to capture a lot of it, so we came out heroes.
Yeah.
For exposing the heinous conditions.
That's true, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I belong to every animal organization there.
Really,
is.
You're an activist.
We have three dogs, two cats. You know, we're like,
wow.
You know, I'm a vegetarian. I've been a vegetarian since I was a kid.
Really?
So, you know, I mean,
why? Did you go through a trauma or something?
No, I just always found meat repulsive.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Meat,
wow.
Chicken.
So it's not really, so it wasn't the compassion for animals that made you vegetarian?
No, I mean, I was like seven, you know,
yeah,
so I didn't
true.
Really understand. I just, you know, found meat disgusting.
Okay, so you're still vegetarian to
this
day? Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What about you, John?
He's a carnivore.
You eat meat, so, I mean,
I eat anything that moves.
Yeah. So what happens at home? I mean, how do you eat? Do you make... Do you
well,
make
I don't
meat
cook.
For him?
No, I don't. Oh, I don't cook. Oh God, yeah, okay. I really don't cook. I'm the worst cook in the world. I burn rice.
But we live at the top of a mountain in Topanga, so you really gotta figure out, you know, what you want when you go down there.
We eat very strangely whenever whenever we want. No, John eats, you know, whatever he wants. I eat whatever I want.
That's cool. You know? Now, for those of you who don't know, Topanga is a canyon that's between like the valley and the beach.
Yeah, it's near Malibu.
Exactly, and. I mean, it's like really cool. I mean, it's a privilege to live there. It's not just anybody lives there.
Oh, it's beautiful. I mean, the only thing I miss, you know, at the beach, I would walk my dogs all the time and see people.
Uh-huh.
Up there, all you see are gardeners. I mean, everybody lives behind these gates. And it's like whenever I see a person, I get very excited. But that's the only, you know, part I miss is, you know. But we're down here all the time. I mean, all our friends live here and everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's so beautiful. I mean, you're driving. We drive home and there's all these deer on the side of the road.
Yeah.
And
they're not
afraid of people because nobody hurts them.
Right.
You know, so that part is so cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So are you like still living off of the money of the movies and stuff?
No. That's part of it. I'm about to have a huge infusion from Faces of Death.
Really?
Well, you didn't own them. You were young and stupid.
You were young.
But I can write my experiences because they're my vision.
Right.
That happened from 35 years ago.
That's true, yeah.
But I'm also going to mix it up with some fiction just to spice things up a little bit.
I see. Okay, well, you're a writer. You know how to... you obviously have experience in mixing like fiction and reality and stuff. But you know what I'm thinking is like, this is like back then they didn't have like four sequels or three sequels to a movie, you know.
Mm.
So this is probably one of the pioneers as far as sequels and stuff.
Yes, it is.
Right?
For that form.
Right.
Wow, man, I wish I wasn't so squeamish. Like, I want to watch this and I'm like,
I know, it sounds
fascinating, such a wimp.
Right?
No, listen, I haven't watched them either, you know, except for two scenes. So,
I know some films are gruesome. I mean, do you remember like Red Asphalt and stuff? I mean, you probably knew about that one, right?
No, what's that?
No, that's like a movie about that, like they filmed, traffic accidents and things like
that.
Yeah, and I've never seen it either, but I just heard about it.
Oh.
Like, you know what the first rescuers see when they come to the scene.
I bought footage of, there was a PSA 128 crash. It was flying between San Diego and LAX, and it went down right in between the two airports. And there happened to be a stringer. A stringer is a guy who makes his living with his camera, and he'll sell his story to ABC, NBC.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So what happened is we heard an APB for all people to head down. This is for the paramedics and cops and everything. Mm-hmm. And we got down there before everybody, and all you see were mounds of flesh.
Oh my God!
All over the sidewalk.
Wow.
On the roofs, it looked like an amoeba creature.
Wow.
Oh my God,
that's just so wonderful. Thanks for sharing.
Well, but that's part of his experience.
I fly PSA all the time.
Yeah.
But you see things like that on the news now all the time. Yeah, unfortunately, you know.
People have asked why can you do another Faces of Death, and you really can't anymore because it's just total saturation at this point.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, you turn on the news, you go on the internet. I mean, you can see anything.
Yeah, they show everything. Huh?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, everybody's got a video camera with them. And,
yeah.
You know.
So tell me about your show.
Well, there it is, right here. You get to see everything about it right here.
This is it.
Do you do it 5 days a week? Or?
5 days a week, yeah. We're here. Yeah.
Monday through Friday.
And we always have fascinating guests like yourselves. And do you have any children? Did you?
No, just animals.
You opted for the
Animal, the four limb. We travel a lot. So,
do you really?
Yeah.
So what do you do with the animals when you travel?
We get people to sit, you know, stay at our house.
Right.
Our animals are very spoiled.
Yeah. I guess when you live in a place like this, it's almost expected to have animals, you know, because they probably have a lot of room to move and.
Oh yeah, right? I mean our animals are treated like royalty.
Really?
I mean, they have trained us. You know, I bring my little Japanese chin noodle. That's her name. Uh-huh. I bring her water in bed. You know, she looks at me. I serve her whatever she wants. You know,
that's like my grandparents' dog. There has to be ice in the water, yeah, and you have to like hold it up to her mouth, like physically.
Exactly.
Poodle.
We have a Pekingese and a Chow and two extraordinary cats, and they all love each other.
Wow, you know? That's cool. You know. What do you like any other animals?
Oh, I love every
horses and stuff.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love anything that's an animal. Well, I mean, I'm not. No,
people
I'm
not so much.
No, I love people too. I'm not big on reptiles though. No. I snakes and lizards. Just
speaking of reptiles, here's another one from
me
Faces
out.
Of Death. Uh-huh. Is it that in Tennessee and around that area of the country, there are these really religious fanatics, and this is one group that. And every Sunday they meet and they take out rattlesnakes and hold up rattlesnakes to show their faith to the Lord.
Really?
They dance. Wow. With them,
they dance around. Yeah. And the day I was there, a guy got stung and had to rush him to the hospital.
I guess he didn't have enough faith.
That's exactly the line that I said.
Really?
Where was his faith when he needed him then?
The snakes freak me out.
I know, me too.
Yeah,
me
I
too.
Like snakes.
Now, John, so, I mean, you've been preoccupied with death for quite a long time and stuff. What is your opinion? What do you think happens after we die? Do you have any opinion on this?
I'll tell you what a Sikh told me. A Sikh is an Indian religion.
Okay.
And he said to me, I'm going to tell you one thing about death. He said, when you die, you're going to see a tunnel of white light. And as you walk toward that white light, you're going to see people from your past who have died reaching out to you.
Right.
He said, don't touch anybody. Go for the light.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's what he told you. So that's pretty much stayed with you.
That stayed with me.
Wow.
And other people have told me other things, but for some reason that's...
Yeah.
And I also use the motto,
live with courage, die
with honor.
Something like that.
I'm not even on drugs.
Oh, honey, you're dealing with your pain very well. Yeah. John hurt his back.
Yeah. So. Did you do drugs in the 70s, 80s like everybody else did?
70s, 80s, 90s. 2000.
2000. In fact, before we came
here. I'm a walking miracle.
Really? Well, what were you into?
Well, it wasn't a matter of what I was into. The reason I'm still here is that I couldn't tolerate large dosages like my friends.
Really?
And so, you know.
So you'd get sick and stuff?
No, I wouldn't get sick. I just couldn't take as many drugs as they took.
I see, okay.
Where it took me, you know, one pill, it would take them four pills, you know.
Wow.
But that's another time and place.
Yeah, there
and
you go.
I'm glad that I got out of it pretty much.
Unscathed.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool, you know. But I wanted to ask you so many things, and I keep forgetting and stuff. What are some? So, have you worked in some other films too?
Oh yeah, I had a movie on HBO called Black Ice with Michael Nouri and
Joanne Pakula.
Thank you. And then I had another movie called House of the Rising Sun.
Uh huh.
And I've written, produced, and directed over 300 magazine segments during my career.
Oh, wow.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow. What are magazine segments? You mean like
in... For example, like on
like those reality shows, right?
Yeah, wait.
Like Extra and Inside...
Like Extra cuts away to stories.
Right,
you know?
Right.
You interviewed Imelda Marcos.
Yeah.
Really?
Sent to the Philippines to meet with Pamela Bellwood. And we were there filming at the Manila Hotel, and that night we heard that Imelda Marcos was going to be in the dining room. And so we headed for the dining room and had a nice little tete-a-tete.
That's cool.
Did she show you her shoes?
Yeah.
No, I threw my shoe at her.
Yeah, Mia, that was she was the first lady of the Philippines, yeah. And they had like a scandal with her husband and everything, and it was found that she has like thousands and thousands of pairs of shoes, you know.
Oh my gosh.
So it became like a joke, you know, about uh-huh. her. So you mentioned Imelda Marcos, Marcos, the first thing people think
is
the shoes.
I think she's dead now. I think she's dead.
Is she dead? I thought I'm...
Maybe not.
Maybe she is. I don't know. I thought she wasn't.
I'm pretty sure she... I know he died.
Yeah, he died, yeah. Hmm. Let's see, Imelda Marcos. That's why we have Google.
Google.
No, nobody's stupid anymore, you know?
Yeah.
In fact, she died in 91. Is that possible?
Yes.
No, the exile is 86 to 91. Let's see if it says when she died.
She's probably still buying shoes.
Yeah.
No, because, you know, the people of, you know, she was taking money from her country, from the people, I guess.
Oh, they totally raped there.
Yeah, and there. Spent it on shoes.
Right.
And other things.
Uh-oh.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I don't think she's dead.
What kind of closet must, I mean.
It was unbelievable.
You have to have, like, the biggest shoe rack ever.
Yeah. 2,700 pairs she had. Yeah.
Oh my God.
2,700.
In 2011, you know, she declared her net worth to be almost $1 billion, which is $22 million.
Wow.
That's still a lot of money.
So she's still alive.
She is still alive, yeah.
Still alive and shopping.
And wearing shoes.
Maybe now she's gone barefoot.
Yeah, really.
So yeah, they were
slippers
in exile
every day.
For a while.
So how is your show coming in terms of
listeners? The show's coming great, but we're interviewing you today, so stop asking me questions. No, we're just about out of time. So do you want to promote the upcoming book? Or?
Well, it's a little early yet, but it's going to be called My Faces of Death, A Bloody Memoir.
Okay.
And I'll be going to all the conferences next summer.
Conventions.
What kind of conventions do you go to? Like horror conventions?
Horror conventions, and people can buy the book and get my autograph and all that kind of stuff.
They have a lot of those conventions?
Yeah.
Yeah, people love scary movies.
And you go to colleges a lot, too.
Yeah, I go to colleges a lot.
Really? Mm-hmm. What do you do at the colleges?
I play a game called Fact or Fiction. And what I used to do is bring in segments from Faces of Death, the best ones that I had,
uh-huh.
and I play a game with Fact or Fiction with the students there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was fun.
Wow, that sounds pretty interesting.
And I actually sold the concept to CBS, uh-huh. but it never got beyond the pilot stage.
Oh, well. Yeah, but you've got a page on Wikipedia and everything, so you're good. No, you're out there.
Somebody on my IMDb took away all my credits. I think.
Really?
I think you're just all I have paranoid. Is my
Faces
of Death. We can put it back, honey.
Yeah, there's a lot of credits on Wikipedia. You guys can find them. Okay, John Schwartz, thank you so much
very
for coming.
Exciting.
My pleasure.
Very interesting stuff. And Joan,
nice meeting
his
you.
Wife.
See,
very
Joan,
nice to meet you.
You didn't expect this, and look what happened.
Look what happened. I got to talk.
There you go. Yeah.
And I'm so shy.
Nobody sits in this studio without talking.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Go plug Two Jews.
Oh, we already did that, honey.
One more time.
Two Jews on Film.
Yeah, everybody check it out. Two Jews on Film on YouTube.
Yeah,
I'm definitely going to catch that. That would be cool. I like the bagels idea.
Yeah, you got to rate the bagels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope you give our show 5 bagels if you ever rate our show.
We will.
Okay. 5 bagels with cheese, with cream cheese.
Cream cheese.
Cream cheese.
And lox.
Lox.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah,
all
I'm
right,
hungry
thanks,
now.
Guys. I know, me too. All right. Well, everybody, have a nice weekend. Mia, you
Thank
too.
Thank you.
We
have
won't
a
be
wonderful
here Monday.
Weekend. Have a great trip.
Thank you very much.
And we'll see you when you get back.
See you Tuesday.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.